Welcome, everybody, to the Ha'aloscha 5773. And the year that we are looking for a message for any Jew, anytime. Today, I would like to analyze some important symbolisms in our Torah, which are housed primarily in our Parsha. And that is the symbolism of the menorah. Now, menorah is taught in several places. It's first introduced in the Parsha of the construction of the tabernacle. That's Truma. Truma is part of the second book, Shemos, Exodus. It's described there in how the physical candelabrum was constructed out of pure gold and ornate. And then in the following Parsha, Tetzaveh, Moshe is instructed concerning oil that should be produced to fuel that menorah. And then in this Parsha, Parshas Beha'alosecha, which is in two books later in Numbers, Bamidbar, Aaron actually is instructed regarding the daily lighting of that menorah. And there's a lot of innuendos in the beginning of this week's Parsha, together with what we learned in those previous ones. And I'd like to analyze with you the exact symbolism of the various aspects of this menorah. Okay, so it's going to be a little analytical, but I think that what comes out of it is a more profound understanding of who we are, all Jews. And it actually dovetails with some of the conversation that we've had at the table class. So first let me do a quick purview of the symbolisms of the verses, of the phrases that we're going to analyze. And I've already kind of mentioned some of them. All right, we'll start with Beha'alosecha, and we'll refer back to the others if we need to. So, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Daber el Aharon, speak to Aharon, V'yomarta elav, and say to him, Beha'alosecha es haneros, when you, and the English translation is kindle, but it's problematic because the word Beha'aloscha comes from the Hebrew word ale, go up, like aliyah, like when you get called up to the Torah, or if you go move to Israel, it's called making aliyah. So it really would translate more as when you bring up the neros, when you bring up the candles or the lights, or the flames. Elmul p'nei ha-menorah yo'iru shivas ha-neros. So the seven flames, the seven candles, one way of translating this is, shall face towards the center. Vayas ken Aaron el mul p'nei ha-menorah, Aaron did so, and towards the center of the menorah, he'ela neroseha. Indeed, he brought up the candles. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem had commanded Moshe. V'zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah, and this is the work of the candelabrum itself. Miksha zahav, it's of a solid piece of gold. Ad yurecha ad pircha, including the base, all the way to its flowers, as described in greater detail back in Terumah. Miksha hi, it was all of one piece. Kamare asher hera Hashem es Moshe, just as the vision that Hashem showed Moshe, Kain asa es ha-menorah. That's how he made it. And this vision, Rashi explains that Moshe had a hard time envisioning the menorah. He said, we can't even make it. It's too ornate. It's too elaborate. Rashi, one commentary says, he couldn't understand how such a big such a big creation could be made out of one piece of gold. It would seem to him that it would have to be fashioned of different parts screwed together. And he just couldn't do it, and Hashem had to show it to him. Okay? That's part of the explanation of this. So, here's the part that I want to analyze. We've got, on one hand, we've got the physical candelabrum, the gold menorah, which is very, very deliberately and distinctly made out of one piece. We've got the neros, the flames, the candles, which are brought up. We know from Parshas Tetzaveh that these neros are fueled by oil. We know that the Torah is very deliberate also and distinct by saying that the oil must be the purest oil. And it's described there just how they make it. We also have a commentary by Rashi that the bringing up of these candles implies that Aaron had to actually mount a little step, like a step ladder, in order to reach the top of the menorah. It was so tall. So there's a double meaning. There's walking up to start the process of lighting, and then there's also the bringing up of the candles themselves in the lighting process. We also have the teaching of Rashi that why did this instruction to Aaron to light the menorah come right after the last parsha of Naso, which is where the Mishkan itself, the tabernacle itself, was dedicated. And where the last part of the previous parsha, we're taught that all of the tribal heads, the Nesiim, offer gifts, except for the tribe of Levi. And Rashi cites from the Midrash, from our oral tradition, that when Aaron saw this, he felt bad. He said, and what about us? What about the tribe of Levi? We have no gift. And Hashem then turns to him and reassures him, don't worry, you're going to light the menorah. That's greater than their contribution. You're going to have a daily contribution of lighting the menorah. And somehow that quieted Aaron and that satisfied him. So we want to kind of understand all of that. In short, what is the symbolism of the menorah and the importance of the lighting of this menorah? So here are the thoughts, and I want to give credit once again to my friend Alan for sharing with me, Alan Smirin, his learning. What he does every day of the week, he reads from various books that he has on the Parsha, and he really provided me with ample material to think about these questions. So here's what I'd like to try to put together for your approval. We've got the physical candelabrum, the menorah. The menorah symbolizes the Jewish people, the fact that it's made of one piece symbolizes the fact that Jewish people are indeed one unit, one goof, one body, if you will. The candles, which are the flames burning with oil. Now I'm a little bit confused about this. Because many commentaries say, and I'm talking about, you know, all over the gamut of commentaries, they say that the menorah symbolizes the Torah. And the light of the menorah is the spiritual light that is provided by the Torah itself. Okay, that seems to be supported by a well-known verse from Tehillim, Psalms, I believe, that says, "Ner mitzvah v'Torah or." That a candle is the mitzvah, and the Torah is the light. Okay, I believe it's a verse in Tehillim and Psalms, "Ner mitzvah v'Torah or." Torah is light. Torah is the light of a candle. Each mitzvah that we do is like a little nair, the Torah itself providing or like the primordial light that is referred to in the beginning of the story of creation. Vayihi or. God said, let there be light. This light is understood to be not the sun. The sun came later. Light was the light of God's spirituality. So the Torah is the communication, is the message which transmits God's light to us. The thing that I'm confused about is, isn't there also a teaching that says that the Nair symbolizes the Jewish neshama? Don't we have an age-old custom of lighting a yahrzeit candle? You know, on Yontif, when we say Yiskor, or when we commemorate the loss of a loved one every year, and indeed during the mourning period, we light a candle because there's another phrase that says Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that the candle of Hashem is the soul of man. So now we have a different symbolism. We've got the candle symbolizing the soul of man. Well, which is it? Does the light represent the Torah of God, or does the light represent the soul of a man? Hear my question?
I have a question.
A question on the question.
I thought you said the Nair, the candle, is the mitzvah.
Yeah. The Nair is the mitzvah, the Torah is Or. So it's like a little piece of the Or is the mitzvah. Each mitzvah, the Torah is comprised of 613 mitzvahs. Together it forms the Or, but each of those mitzvahs is like a little candle from that Or.
Okay, but is the candle separate from the flame? Is the Torah the flame or the thing that is lit?
So now you're starting to analyze even on a finer point than I'm not even up to that point yet. That's a good question, and I'm not sure I'm going to get to the answer of that. But I'm stuck on a more basic point, or a previous point, which is, does the Or, or does the candle refer to Hashem, or does it refer to the soul of man?
Isn't it because each soul is a piece of God, that
okay.
It's the same thing?
So, it's well known that a soul, the meaning of a soul, is a spark of the divine. And this is also supported by the beginning of Bereishis, when God blew into Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul. Okay? So there you have it. But, and that notion is a beautiful one, and it inspires, I would say, anyone, any person. But we are speaking to every Jew, and we have to fine-tune that definition a little bit more. I think what this is saying, and tell me if this is obvious to you, or if it's, to me, this was not obvious. To me, it was eye-opening. And that is to say that on Mount Sinai, 3,300 some years ago, God revealed his presence to the Jewish people and said, I am giving you the Torah. The Torah is going to consist of laws. It is going to consist of ten statements. We're going to start off with that. That's going to be our first course. And then throughout the course of 40 years, Moshe is going to transmit all the rest of it. And there's going to be a scroll, but there's also going to be oral teachings. And that is really the primary way that you are going to know my Torah, is by the oral teachings that your teacher is going to teach you. That is my Torah also. The way Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch put it, the Chumash is only the notes. The lecture is the oral transmission. So when we say that God shone Torah as the light, Hashem revealed himself really through no other means, no other medium than the oral teachings of the Torah. So when a teacher of Torah gets up, like I am, and is speaking to you, words that I receive from my teachers, I am passing on that light to you. Okay? That is the light of the oral Torah. This room is filled with light right now because we are discussing words of Torah orally. We happen to have a chumash sitting here, but that, as Rav Hirsch says, that's just a few notes in case we have to quote something. But the real essence of the Torah is the words that are spoken between teachers and students, parents and children and colleagues in every generation, every day, in schools, in shuls, in houses of study. So that's the Or. The Or is the oral Torah. And guess what our souls are? Instead of saying our soul is a spark of God, which, quite frankly, you could say that to a Christian, you could say that to a Buddhist, or whoever, you know, would believe in God, and you tell them you have a part of God inside you, yeah. But what if you say you have Torah inside of you? That's what your neshama is. Your neshama is the same essence as God's Torah. You have mitzvos inside of you. You have the midrashim, the oral teachings of the Jewish people in the desert with Moshe Rabbeinu inside of you. You have the 613 mitzvos inside of you. Now you're going to say to me, but I don't feel that. I'm not even aware of it, and I don't even feel it. And a lot of people who are Jewish will say, I don't even believe in it. So how can you tell me that inside of me is the neshama, which means the Torah, when I don't even feel it? So that, my dear friends, is exactly what this Parsha is teaching us. This Parsha is teaching us that you have it, it just has to be lit. Behaloscha es haneros. You have to light that candle. It's in you. You just have to light it. That's what this Parsha is teaching. We all have it in us. So Aaron getting the mitzvah to light the candle is in its, at this point in my understanding of Torah, is in essence saying, Hashem says to Aaron, we have to teach our people to light their candles. We have to teach our people that they have Torah inside of them and it has to be ignited. How do you ignite it? Well, first of all, you need to have some oil. The oil has to be pure. We could say that that symbolizes our minds and our hearts. Okay, we're all endowed with God, besides the Torah, with tools, with a tool set, like they say today. We all have a mind and a heart, a Jewish mind and a heart. And we have to purify that, which is symbolized by a Jew, you know, coming to the readiness, to the willingness, the bright intention. I want to light my candle. That's number one. Number two, we have to follow Aaron. Aaron is going to teach us how to light our candle. He is going to go over to the step ladder. He's going to step up. Okay, that's symbolic of stepping up. Before we even light the candle, we have to step up on the pedestal. Okay, that could be symbolic of Derech Eretz, proper conduct, proper Menschlichkeit, which is Kadma La Torah, which precedes Torah itself. We have to step up. We have to lift ourselves up from the doldrums. We have to lift ourselves up from all of the non-Jewish stuff that we're also mired in. We have to pick ourselves up. Then we can start to light our candle. We have to follow our own lead. Aaron takes whatever he starts with, I guess he has a little match or something, and he carefully places it to the wick. I forgot wicks. It's got to be wicks, too. Carefully places it to the wick and holds his hand there until the flame goes up. Okay, and this is symbolic of somebody like Aaron, who already has his flame lit, going over and touching his flame to the flames of other Jews and saying, here, let me hold the flame to you and I'll let your candle catch on and also light. Really, the lighting of the candles is something that people do in themselves and also share to others. In fact, everyone knows that when you're trying to teach a child, particularly if you're trying to teach a Jewish child how to love the Torah, you have to model it. If your candle is lit and you hold it near theirs, it will light theirs too. So really, self-improvement, elevation is the greatest form of teaching and modeling. How does a person merit to light his candles? If we don't, or if our candles are not automatically lit, we've got them, but they're not lit, how does a person merit? I think that this can be instructed from the fact that Aaron felt bad that he had nothing to give to the Mishkan. He wanted to give something, and he says, I didn't give anything. He wasn't concerned about his honor. He was concerned about not participating and not contributing. And when Hashem said, oh, you want to contribute? You want to contribute to the effort of the Mishkan? I will give you the lighting of the menorah as your reward. In other words, you will merit lighting your menorah and the menorah of others if you have the spirit of giving. If you feel bad because you're not able to give, that is the greatest sign to Hashem, I really want to have my candles lit and be able to light the candles of others. I forgot to ask another question, which was bothering me, is that if the menorah symbolizes the light of Torah, don't we already have a symbol of that in the Ark? Isn't the Aron HaKodesh that sits behind the curtain of the Holy of Holies, isn't that the symbolism of Torah? And the answer is, that's only the symbol of the book. But where is the Torah that's inside? Where is the neshama, which really now means the spark of Torah, where is that? That's symbolized by the menorah. So the Aron is symbolic of this, whereas the menorah is symbolic of this. But I think that's probably the essence of our analysis here. Oh, one other thing. Rashi comments on the phrase, "Vayaskein Aharon." Aaron did this. Aaron did what? He lit the menorah the way Moshe instructed him as in being instructed by God. And Rashi says, well, obviously he did that. Anybody would follow the mitzvah as commanded. And Rashi says, oh no, Vayaskein Aharon, he did this always. He did it forever. Meaning, the way that he lit the menorah the first day, that's how he lit it the second day and the third and the fourth. Which means he didn't tire of lighting the menorah. This is another very well used idea in our commentaries. Let's see if we can read something over here. Maintaining our enthusiasm, a key to meaningful living. Rashi states that this verse is in praise of Aaron, who fulfilled the command exactly as instructed. This is difficult to understand For even a lesser person than Aaron would not have deviated from God's command. How much more so Aaron? Once again, the Torah teaches us an important lesson. It is easy to be enthusiastic when we undertake a new project. To keep that enthusiasm going, however, when the novelty wears off, is the real test of character. We all have visions and dreams when facing new challenges. We go under the chuppah, certain that we will be the best husbands and wives. When we become parents, we are confident that we will be the best mothers and fathers. When we start a new business, we are ready to invest all our energies. But very soon, our dreams fade, our enthusiasm wanes, and we become habituated and perhaps blasé, taking our lives for granted. Aaron, however, was different. Throughout his 39 years of service, he retained the same enthusiasm as on the day that he first received the command. Indeed, Aaron did so. So that's another dimension to this symbolism, is that Aaron was not just given a one-time mitzvah. In fact, that's what Hashem was saying to Aaron. You're worried that you didn't get to give a gift? That gift that the Nesiim brought, that's a one-time thing. Your contribution is going to be to light the menorah daily, forever. And after you're no longer able to, it's going to be your son. But somebody is going to get up in front of the nation and light that menorah and show to the entire Jewish people that this is what we have to do every day. We have to light our menorah. We have to purify the oil. We have to take pure oil, which is again our minds and our hearts. We have to realize that we are lighting the menorah. The menorah represents the Jewish people. We are all one miksha achas, one piece of solid gold. And we each have within us a neshama, which is a flame. This is the same flame made of the same fire that is Hashem's Torah. That's what we have, and we just have to light it. And that is B'ha'alosecha. So I think that the message for any Jew at any time is that our soul is not just something that's detached from Torah. It's just a spiritual aura. It's not that. We could leave that for the other people and the other religions. It's not just a spiritual aura. Something that's, you know, very, whatever, gives a person a feeling of transcendence and wow, you know, it is a very specific soul. The soul is the spark of Torah. And it's in us, and if we don't feel it, it just means that we have to light our candle. Any comments?
Oh, yeah.
Now we could discuss your thing, too. Yeah.
I remember hearing from Shiri Smiles, I think it was for Rabbi Katz, that nefesh, which is a different aspect of soul.
Right.
The nun stands for the ner.
Mm-hmm.
The fey, which is a pei, stands for the wick. I forget what the Hebrew term for that is. And then the shin is
shemen.
Shemen, the oil. Mm-hmm. And this all corresponds
pasila,
to the human.
Pei is for pasila.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that's what nefesh means. That's how she ties in with the idea that every Jewish neshama or nefesh, every Jewish person is a flame, and that we have all these aspects to it.
Interesting. What would be the analogy to the wick? You know, if the shemen is the mind and the heart, what would be the wick? Would it be maybe the power of speech?
I would think the wick is the body.
Connection.
The wick is the body.
The physical.
I was saying that the candelabrum was the body.
No, I'm thinking maybe that the physical. The flame is not material. It's just.
I see.
It's not solid liquid or whatever it is.
The oil is cognate shemen with neshama. So that's the spiritual part of us is connected. And then the wick is the body.
Okay.
And then the light.
The flame itself is gas. Like in scientific terms, you've got a solid, a liquid, and a gas.
Yes.
You've got the solid wick, the liquid oil and then the gaseous flame. But of course, all of that is really just a manifestation of something spiritual. In other words, even the flame itself, when the sages say, or when King David says that Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, that the candle is like a soul, of course, a candle is also physical.
Yeah.
You know, it burns through wood, so it's only a mashal for something which is not physical at all that animates us. Just like the oral Torah is not physical. There's nothing you cannot take. When people share words of Torah, you cannot find that anywhere physically. There's no book that contains all of the words that we share. It just doesn't exist. That's why God gave us an oral Torah, among other reasons. He wants to know that the essence... I can give you a scroll, but that's not the essence of what Torah is. The essence of Torah is something that's not physical. Just like I'm not physical, and you're ultimately not physical. You're ultimately, you carry within your wick and your shemen, your mind and your heart, you actually carry with you a spiritual Torah flame. Yeshakoah. Was it obvious? Is there any new insight in your thinking? To me, the big breakthrough was that the soul is not something just plain. It's the same thing as the aura of Torah. That's whatever that means. Mm-hmm. We have Torah inside of us. Yeah.
You were getting back to there's something about breath or something like. Oh yeah, like the neshama, Hashem breathed it into us. And we're talking about Torah and words of Torah.
Mm-hmm.
That all comes from the inside, sure. The breath and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
So that fits in with what you were saying.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And the oral Torah.
Oral Torah. Know? And also, remember, what is the essence of the oral Torah is Mishnah. Mishnah, teaching.
All right.
Same letters as Neshama.
Wow. All right.
So there you go. So that's good. So when we... I didn't think of that. You know, at a Shiva house, the custom is to learn Mishnah. And because Mishnah is the same letters as Neshama. And I've always thought of it as kind of like two different things, putting them together. It's not two different things. Mishnah is Neshama. Our soul, let's walk out of here today and say, our soul is the soul of the oral Torah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's the novelty here. Right. And I don't think your average religious person and even Jewish religious person thinks of that. They think of the neshama as some kind of an aura that we have that's spiritual, that's like God, blah, 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 blah. They don't think of it is the oral Torah. That's the novelty here. Yeah.
Getting back to what Rabbi Katz and Mrs. Miles were saying, that the wick being the body, when it comes to lighting something, if you just have a wick and you light it, it's just gone. When it's in the oil,
right.
Or steeped in Mishnah, the oral Torah, doing the mitzvahs and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that, that's when it can fuel Keeps things on. Into doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But without it,
mm-hmm.
you don't get anything
it
going.
It burns up. Shkoach.
Me first or you first? The ancient four elements are earth, air, fire. Earth, air,
wind
water.
Wind and fire.
Earth,
wind.
Air, water.
Water, earth,
and
oh.
fire. Fire, mm-hmm. that air. Fourth element, is... That spark, it sparks. They didn't know that fire is just incandescent gas, but it's different.
Mm-hmm.
The energy of the spirit of fire.
I see.
That spirit.
Right.
And if you look closely at a wick, at a flame, you know how it's
separates different colors.
It's clear in the bottom, and
uh-huh.
then it's
opaque.
Yellow and red and orange, sometimes
uh-huh.
even blue around the
uh-huh.
edge. There's a lot in a flame if you look at it.
Yeah.
Well, the four elements are Jewish: carbon, oxygen, hydrogen, and nitrogen. Which
are they Jewish?
Cohen.
That's your color. All right. Very elemental.
Very elemental.
All right. Have a wonderful Shabbos.